Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Last week, Sunday night, I spoke very briefly because we just really couldn't get into things about being transformed into the image, you know, that God wants us to be transformed into, which is His image, really. And if you look at it, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created man in His image and His likeness. When man fell, we lost the glory. How many of you know we lost the glory when man fell? But in Christ, we can be restored to that glory. Amen. And we can be restored to the same image, which is His image. Can you say amen? So this morning, I'm going to just quickly, briefly read through two of the scriptures I read through with you last week, Sunday night, and then we're going to get into it. Is that okay, guys? Amen. Amen. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. How many of you know in this covenant, we are all unveiled? There's no more veil. We can go straight to Him. Amen. And in His image, in his presence, we can be transformed into His image. It says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God." Now, in order for us to be transformed into that image, into His glory, something must take place. And how do we do that? I don't know about you, but I'm someone who wants to be used by God. I'm someone who wants to get close to God. I want to get as close to Him as I can. I want to be transformed as much as I can. And what do we have to do? What must take place in our lives in order for this to begin to take place? So let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:6. I believe that the secret is right here. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So in other words, the knowledge of the glory is in the face of Jesus Christ. Can everybody say amen? Amen. I believe that the church has gone in so many different directions, you know, as a whole, and we're all doing our own thing. And, you know, some good, some okay, some not so good, some bad, some whatever. Amen. But at the end of the day, how many of you know that it all began with Jesus? Amen. Who is Jesus? If the knowledge of the glory is in the face of Jesus, who is He? And what is it about Him that we need to know so that we can step into a place where we begin to really see transformation take place in our lives? I'm talking about transformation that allows us to walk in the image of God. And if we walk that way, anything is possible. Can you say amen? How many of you know we don't see as much of anything as possible as we'd like to see? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Colossians 1:15. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. John 1, verse number 1. So we know that Jesus is the invisible God. He was the image of the invisible God. Now watch. He was right in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the beginning, which is the starting point, He already was. So in other words, if He was in the beginning, He created the starting point. Is that okay? And He already was, past tense. The Word. So God made the beginning, and He, Jesus, was in the beginning. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So Jesus was in the beginning, and everything was made in Him, and everything was made through Him, and without Jesus, nothing was made. Amen. So He is the center of it all. He is the beginning and He is the end. Can you say amen? But if we go to verse 14 of John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So without Jesus, nothing changes, and without Him, you cannot be transformed in any way. It all starts with Jesus. So if Jesus is the Word, how do we increase in knowing the Word? How do we increase our faith? How do we begin to believe more? What must we believe to have more faith? What is it all about? Where does faith start? Amen. Are you guys still here? Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, faith comes by hearing. So actually, faith comes from the ability to hear. And that hearing actually comes from the Word of God. But now Jesus is also the Word. The word that's used there for word is the word rhema, which is revelation, actually. It's the word revelation, rhema. It's ability to have understanding to for the revealed word. But the revealed word, the revealed what? If Jesus is the Word, then what must we get a revelation of? Of who?
Jesus.
Of Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing a revelation of what? Oh, a revelation of Jesus. Okay. You guys are doing well. All right, now. So if we need to get revelation and our faith comes through Jesus, watch this. I'm going to strengthen that this morning. Hebrews 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the word author there, Jesus, the author, the word author there actually means in the original language, the originator, the beginning, the head, the ruler. So in other words, our faith originates, begins with Jesus. Our faith begins with Him. Our faith originates from Him. He is the ruler of our faith. He is the head of our faith. In other words, without Him, there is no faith. But He's not only the author, He's also the finisher. And the word finisher is so powerful. It actually means the completer, or this part I really like. He is the perfecter of our faith. So how do we get faith? If faith originated and comes from Him, what do we need? We need Jesus. We need a revelation of Jesus. But in order for us to understand the glory of God, we want a revelation of God, right? Or to understand the glory. Now, what we need to understand is that Jesus is the revelation of God. I know this is some deep stuff. Jesus is the revelation of God. But without Jesus, there is no faith, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, if you believe in something else, you've got a problem, because you can't have faith. Because faith comes from Him. There's no faith outside of Him. It's just a belief system. It's religion. Outside of Him, there is no faith. Faith started and faith finishes with Him. Amen. Now watch. How do you know that you are saved? How do you know? By what? By faith. We know by faith that we are saved. Is faith natural? Faith is supernatural. Faith is not natural. Faith is supernatural. Faith is a substance. It is something that exists. It is real. But it requires ingredients. Amen. Now, the key ingredient to faith, if you haven't realized by now, happens to be Jesus. Okay? So when we get saved, how do we know that we are saved? By faith, right? Now watch. Okay, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, John 14:6, let's go there. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is there any other way to the Father? He's the only way. Amen. Acts 16:30. And he brought them out and said, now watch. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. You and your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to, in order for us to be saved, we have to believe. Believe in what? Believe in Jesus. Are you starting to get it? What's it all about? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Who is? Jesus is. Amen. 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 Okay, good. You guys are great. Amen. Now watch. It's all supernatural. It's not natural. Faith is a supernatural thing. It's not a natural thing. But it all starts with Jesus. Everything, listen to me now, everything supernatural is in him. Outside of him, there is no supernatural by faith, okay? That is of God. Watch, okay. Acts 16, verse number 30. No, let's not go there. Let's go to John 14:26. John 14:26. Are you guys still okay?
Yeah.
All right. How many of you in this place love the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? Now, let me show you something. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. In other words, without him, there is no Holy Spirit. In other words, when anything is operating outside of Jesus, any spirit operating outside of Jesus, any manifestation operating outside of Jesus, it is false. It is not real. Amen. So don't go to any fortune teller. Don't go to any palm reader, because they operate with divination and it is from the devil. And I serve notice to every fortune teller in this city right now. We break your power now. I bind the spirit of divination. I break its power now in Jesus' name. This city belongs to God. This city belongs to God. This city is God's city. This city is God's city. This city will hear his voice. We will submit to his voice in the name of Jesus. Now somebody give him a shout. Come on. Thank you. You can sit down. Amen. My wife said I must be nice to you when I tell you to sit down. Amen. So. Amen. I have to listen to my wife. Amen. Amen. She's going to kill me. It's okay. Amen. There's nothing outside of that. It's fake. Imitation. It's not real. It's not lasting. It's not everlasting. It doesn't give life. It's temporary. Eventually, there's destruction. Those things, those spirits operate out of fear. That's why the prophetic spirit always edifies. That's why when you operate with the prophetic spirit, there must be edification, exhortation, and comfort, because Jesus came to give life. Amen. Okay. So we know that even the Holy Spirit came in his name to reveal and teach what he taught and to show us more who he really is. Yeah. Amen. Okay, but that's not all. How many of you in this place want to operate in the supernatural? Want to see signs, wonders, miracle? Want to see God move in your life? Amen. Come on, you're a Christian. You should want that, man. Come on. Christian, little Christ, little anointed ones, ones who walk around with the power in your life. If you don't have that, you're living a boring Christian life. Come on. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If your Christian life is boring, it's your fault. It's your fault. I love mine. I love Him. He surprises me all the time. He's awesome. Every time, even when I think He's mad, He still loves me. I don't understand His goodness and His kindness and His mercy. I don't know why He's so good to us, but He is. Okay. Mark 16, 17 to 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. Believe in what? In My name. The supernatural takes place. In My name. Outside of that name, there is no supernatural. Outside of that name, there is no faith. Can you say amen? In My name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, the perfecter. Our faith is made perfect in Him. So then all our faith actually comes through Him. How many of you know that's why it's so important that we get a revelation of Jesus? When you start studying the Word and you become hungry for Him and hungry for His presence, for the Father's presence, then you realize that the only way to get to that place, like where Moses was, where he would speak to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend, the only way is in the face of Jesus. Okay? The only way is in the face of Jesus. I didn't say it, the Bible said it. Please don't be upset with me. Amen. So, we want to get close to God. We want to know the glory of God. We want to experience the presence of God. How do we do that? We need to get a revelation of Jesus in order to understand God, His presence, His character, His attributes, His glory. Amen. Are you with me? Okay. Now, so faith begins when we have a revelation of who Jesus really is. The question is, who is He to you? Who is He to you? Jesus, He is God. He is love. He is healer. He is forgiver. He is grace. He is deliverer. He is peace. And He is so much more than that. See, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. It's not about your superpower to pray when you pray for someone. You ain't got no power, brother. The sooner you realize that it's when you have a revelation of Him and what He did and the compassion He had and His love for people. And when He went and He laid His hands on people, He knew He was going to give His life for these people. And when He did, then power was transported through Him into them. That's the kind of power we need. Amen. Amen. So let's have a look at this. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I've said all this to you, and I want to go to John 14, verse number 1. John 14, verse number 1. Because a lot of what I've taught is actually in here. Watch this now. Okay. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. You believe in God. believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Now watch this. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now watch. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. If you want a revelation of God, you must have a revelation of Jesus. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Did you hear that? They saw Jesus. So what he's saying to them is, you have already seen God because you have seen me. Okay. Amen. Philip said to him, Lord, now watch, he's just told them this. We're talking about the elite guys now. These guys are like the 12 that glow in the dark. Amen. Now, he's just told them that you've seen God. I've been with you. Now, watch Philip. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Let me tell you something, guys. There are so many of us sitting in church that don't know God because we don't see him in Jesus. Because we don't know Jesus yet. We don't have a revelation of Jesus. We have a revelation of salvation. Some of us. Jesus said to him, verse number 9, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, watch, he who believes in me and the works that I do, also, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen. This is good, right? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I'm stuck. I've been a pastor for a while now, and I've asked many things and not seen it happen. What's wrong? Do I have a revelation of Jesus completely? Maybe not. But what do I need if I am starting to see him the way he really is? What do I need to make my faith work? Because faith comes through Jesus. Faith comes from Jesus. Faith is perfected in him. Faith starts with him, so I get it. I don't need 7 keys to faith. I just need Jesus. Amen. Okay, just give me Jesus. You can get 7 keys. Amen. Okay, I need him. I need Jesus. Once I get a revelation of him, I'll glow in the dark. Amen. Believe me, I will. Amen. Amen. So anyway, amen. Okay, so, no, just wait. Okay. Just give me a minute. Sorry, there's just something going on. Amen. So if we believe in him, what ingredient, what do we need? What makes our faith work? What is missing that doesn't get it to operate? We believe in Jesus. We believe in the power. We believe in his works. We believe in this stuff. Now, what is it? What do we need? I'm so glad you're asking. Let's go look. Amen. Let's go to Galatians 5, 6. Are you guys okay? Yes. Amen. 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 Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So in other words, you can have all the faith in the world, but if it doesn't work through love, you have nothing. Nothing will happen. You see, how many of you know that God is love? So faith works by love, through love. Without love, faith doesn't work as much as we believe. You can believe all you like. Without love, nothing's going to happen. Okay? Yeah. But be careful, because the way you think love works might not be the way love works. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Amen. Okay, let's move on. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When Jesus came to this earth, God gave him as a sacrifice, to be sacrificed so that we could have life. That is a complete sacrifice. That is love in a degree that most of us will never understand. I believe that in order for the church to rise up and have a revelation of Jesus Christ the way we are supposed to, in the fullness of what we are supposed to, if it doesn't work with love, it's not going to work. But I do believe that once we get a revelation of Jesus, we will understand that Jesus is love, and it all comes through Jesus. And if we really see how he operated, and we really see how his heart is, and we really see the motives and everything he did, it was all about love. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. In other words, it all revolves around this, that you should love me, says the Lord, and then that you should love your neighbor. Amen. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the new commandment. Why is that the only command? Why is that? Why does it encompass everything? Because you see, when you start to love, and when you love God with everything, and when you love people and your heart begins to truly change, all of a sudden, the rest of the commandments, you don't even need to know them, because you'll just do them, because your heart becomes so focused on the mission that you have. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to John 14, verse number 12. John 14, verse 12. And here we are in Vero Beach, and everybody's still saved. Amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, let's look. Where's the condition? Okay, let's see. Next verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you love me, first commandment. Second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Most important commandments. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you do these things, the rest will just be easy. The New Testament is all about taking the focus off the law. So you keep your eyes on Him. But God doesn't want you to walk in sin. Come on. Oh no, Pastor, sin is okay. Who told you that? Let's not get into that. Amen. Okay. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. How many of you know He's in us? I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now watch. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And here comes the punch. How do we get a revelation of Jesus? Watch. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. To who? Who will he manifest himself to? To the one who keeps his commandments. What are the two most important commandments? What are the two that you need to remember? That you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. That means that you have to be the same yesterday. You have to be the same all the time. You have to not change. That means the same way you are here, you must be outside there. That means that you have to have His heart, not only now when you're here, but also out there. We need to transform into His image. Something must start to take place in us when we get a revelation of Jesus. To get a revelation of God, we must get a revelation of Jesus. Revelation is given. Revelation doesn't just come to you. He reveals Himself to whom He chooses. He doesn't say, I will manifest myself to everyone. He says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. In other words, if you have love, if you walk in love, if you seek to love your neighbor, if you seek to love one another, if we seek him with all of our hearts, then he will begin to manifest himself. He will begin to reveal himself to us. How do we know this is true? There were many apostles, right? How many of you know Paul got a lot of revelation? But there was one disciple, the one who, by the way, lived the longest, the one who they tried to kill but could not kill. John. What was special about John? He was the apostle of everybody. One more time. He was the apostle of love. How many of you have seen pictures and you see John with his head on the breast of Jesus, on the chest of Jesus? How many of you have seen that? John was allowed closer. John was brought in closer because John loved him so much. So much. To the point where he got the revelation of Jesus. Watch this. Let's go to Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must surely take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. I don't think you're getting it. John got what? Of who? Oh. The revelation of Jesus. Now, why is this so important? What book is this? This is the book of Revelation. What will happen to the church when the church gets this revelation? Last night, it was really late. I was finished preparing and I was ready and I was lying there and it was actually one of the Dead Sea Scrolls. I was busy with one of the Dead Sea Scrolls, just studying one of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And how many of you know the Bible speaks of a guy by the name of Enoch? Now, this is not a biblical canon book, but this book, which is it's just information, it's very good stuff. This is some really powerful stuff, but we don't teach it in the church because it's not canon scripture. But however, I want to say this, that it says this, it speaks about how God opens Enoch's eyes. And when Enoch speaks, he speaks about Jesus like he already knew him, like he already had a revelation of him. When Enoch had this revelation, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and Enoch was not. What happened to him? He was taken up. In other words, church, listen. When we get this revelation and we start operating with power, then the church will be and the church will no longer be, because we will be caught up as well. Amen. He is coming for a bride without spot and blemish. Listen, there is going to be a revival that is going to hit this planet, the likes of which this planet has never seen, because the church is going to begin to walk in supernatural power like never before. I saw a door go open yesterday in the prayer meeting, and God said to me that this door that has gone open, no man will shut this door. And no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter how much they come against this nation, against our president, God is going to have the final say. And they cannot stop what he is busy doing. God is busy moving in this nation. The door has gone open. Revival will hit the land. Revival will hit this nation. Thus saith the Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap. Come on. I only need about 5 of you to agree with me. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we are a people and we desire to change, Lord, because Lord, your word says that the heart is wicked. Our hearts are wicked. Outside of you, we are weak. But in you, we are strong. So I pray this morning, Father, that you would reveal your Son to us like never before. That we would begin to see him as he truly is. He is almighty. He is the beginning and the end. He is in all things, all in all, Father. All starts and finishes with him. And so I pray that you will open our eyes, Father. Open the eyes of the church, Father, in this nation and even all across the nations of this world, Father. For surely a door has gone open. Surely you are beginning to move, Lord. And we give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor. And no one can close the door that you have opened, Father. No media, no rioting, no nothing. But Father, what you have begun, you will complete. And so we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Father, your church will begin to rise up in this hour. Your church will begin to worship in this hour. Your church will begin to cry out in this hour. Yes, Lord, raise us up, Lord. Raise us up. Raise up the prayer warriors again. Raise up those with a heart like Daniel again. Raise up those like Enoch again. Raise up the church, Father. Raise us up, Lord. Send revival to this nation. Send revival to this nation. Father, send revival to this church. Send revival to our city. Send revival to Vero Beach, Father. Lord, bring in the lost. Bring in the lukewarm. Bring in those who need you, Father, and let them find your love. Let them find your power. Let them find you. Let them not find religion. Let them not find religion. Let them not find the word that kills, but let them find the word with life. The word with life, which is you. And so this morning in this place, we cry out to you, Lord. Let's cry out. Let's cry out. Come on, I don't hear you crying out. Cry out to him. Cry out to him this morning. Come on. Come on, Lord, we need you. Lord, we're desperate for you. We need you, Lord. We need you in our nation. We need you. We need you in our city. We need you. We need you. We need you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Father, I pray that you will put your heart in us, Lord. That we will be driven by love. That we will be driven by love. Love for you and love for each other. If we all look at you, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And so, Father, this morning in this place, we surrender. And all the glory and all the honor and all the praise belongs to you. Oh, it belongs to you. It belongs to you. Once again, I ask you, Father, this morning, that you will put your heart in our hearts and you will open our eyes so that we can see, and that you will give us a revelation of the Son of the living God. And we thank you. We praise you and we love you. There is none like you. Now, Father, I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love, of the Father and the communion with the Spirit will be with each of us, will change us, will make us more like you, Lord. Not in demonstration, but on the inside. The demonstration will come. But if we change on the inside, really change, then you will manifest yourself to us. And so we love you, we praise you, and we worship you. There is none like you. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.